All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Hey up, everybody. My name's Joshua Morrison, director of Johnny Mozzles, Lessons in Confidence. Today, I want to talk to you a little bit about thought processes and how different people have different thought processes, and how if you can figure out what your thought process is, you can kind of harness that to your advantage. So I'll start off by telling you what my thought process is, how my brain likes to think, and you can see if that's how yours thinks or maybe you think in a different way. Because I know there's two main modes of thought. There's the mode of thought where you think a sentence and then you say the sentence, and so you think in kind of words, like there's a little voice that tells you what your thoughts are. And then there's the type of thought where you think more in abstractions and you think in ideas and concepts, but you don't necessarily put them down in words. And some people do a bit of both. I'm much more of the, I think in sentences. So the way I think of it is there's the me that does the thinking, and then there's the me that responds to those thoughts. So like say I'm thinking I need to go to the shop and get some food and get this, this, and this, right? So my thinking part of the brain will tell me, right, Josh, you need to go to Lidl and get this, this, and this. And then I would basically respond to that and go, okay, I'm gonna get ready. And so then I, you know, put my coat on, put my jumper on, whatever, and I make sure I've got my wallet, that kind of thing. And that stuff is all like, I'm not thinking, okay, get the wallet, get this, but I might say it out loud to myself, just like, here's the wallet, okay, got it, got that, okay, got my keys, okay, right. But I wouldn't say think like putting the jumper on, okay, I need to put a jumper on, right? So different things are just like automatic like that. And some things you kind of just go, right, I've said it to myself in order to sort of enforce it in my brain, right? And if you've got more complicated sort of ideas, like say I'm trying to figure out a larger kind of thing that requires some different points of view and that kind of thing, my brain might make up little, not characters, but like extra voices to sort of help it along the way. So I've got the main voice that is like the thing that talks to me. And then say if I'm trying to work out something to do with the channel, I might have like the me that's trying to think that sort of like creative sort of stuff. And then I might have more the business sort of side of things, which is, and those two kind of have a little dialogue. So I'm thinking, right, I need to do this and then go out and do these videos. And then when I get back, I'm gonna sort this out. And then my brain kind of, the other side of my brain is going, okay, what are the videos about? And then that side of my brain is going, okay, well, I need to get 3 videos sort of done in this session. So what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna try and ask this guy, so what kind of stuff are you thinking about? What's kind of coming to mind? And it might say like, I wanna do one on music, I wanna do one on film, and I wanna do one on like general motivation, right? And it will sort of come up with like ideas on what ways to tackle that and what ways to actually, you know, engage with those ideas and so on and so forth. And then, you know, if it's a really big topic, or say if I'm like not, because, you know, I'm not always the happiest person in the universe. If I'm, say, quite unhappy, I can almost be like a courtroom of different things where I'm trying to figure out an idea and I'm debating with myself, and different voices do the different points of view. And now I'm sounding like a bit of a mental case, I know, but everyone, I think, thinks in various different ways. And some people might do the voices in the head sort of thing, which for me isn't like a negative thing at all. It's actually quite helpful, because it's sort of, right, okay, so this, and, you know, at the end of the day, I might lay down a sort of reminisce on the day, what went right, what went wrong, what am I going to do tomorrow, you know, how am I going to improve on what I did today, how can I fix my schedule, how can I do this, and so on and so forth. And, you know, the part of the brain that actually reciprocates the information that my brain is giving to myself via, you know, exposure to the wider world is kind of saying, right, you've done this wrong, but you did this right, so try and do a bit more of this tomorrow and a bit less of that, okay? And then I'll kind of go, okay, yeah, that kind of makes sense. And then I'll try and think of this and that kind of thing. Or say if I'm trying to figure out a tech, like I need to tech someone something, right? I might think, okay, right, I will be there at about 6 o'clock. And then that brain part that I'm talking about that talks to me kind of goes, right, am I actually going to get there at 6? Or do you think maybe I should say 6:30 because I need to get the bus there. And then if there's a delay on that bus, that might mean that I, you know, get delayed by a little bit and I might miss that bus. And then, because I know that route's a little bit like dodgy and the traffic can get quite a big there around like 5:30 sort of thing. So maybe I should sort of say 6:30. And then, you know, the other side of my brain will go, oh, well, okay, well, let's try and figure out, can we leave earlier? Can we, what do we need to do before we need? What do we need to do before we leave? And I'll kind of think, right, well, I need to have some food, and I need to export a couple of videos, I need to do this and that, and I need to have a little bit of a clean around because I want to come back to a messy sort of house, that kind of thing. And it will go, okay, let's tell him 6:30. Yeah, okay, let's tell him 6:30. And that's been a little collaboration between my brain doing the logistics and my brain that sort of is responding to those logistics. Say if you've got like, say if you're having a really bad day and your brain's kind of working against you and your brain's kind of going, oh, you're a little bit shit, you know, you really fucked that. You really shouldn't have said that. That was a really stupid. And I kind of go, yeah, I know. Like, I shouldn't have done that. I know it was pretty bad. And then that part of the brain will go, well, look, man. And then I'll try and actively think something positive. If my brain is getting too negative, I actively try and think something positive. So it'll be like, okay, well, look. You know, it's good that you had this little negative interaction that was a little bit awkward because it makes for maybe a funny story, or maybe it will teach you how to go about this kind of conversation in the future, or whatever, you know. And that is quite useful, having those different perspectives, because I can tap into different perspectives as and when I need. So, for instance, say if, like, I'm thinking something and in my head I'm constructing the sentence, right? I might be thinking, oh, today was really... And then my brain might activate, like, the word stressful, right? Which means maybe subconsciously I feel stressed. So as I'm thinking the sentence, my subconscious, the part that usually responds to things, has said stressful. I don't want to sit there and think to myself, today was a really stressful day, because that will actualize the stress, that will make it feel more stressful than it maybe actually was. So maybe I'll replace that word with hard or challenging or productive or something that's kind of gives a bit more of a positive kind of thing, so that I can just put this like thought, this negative thought or whatever it is, to rest and bury it under some positivity. Because you know you're a bubbling sea of negativity, and all you can do is just sail the seas of positivity and try and not drown in all the negativity and get eaten by the negative octopus. Or whatever it is, or however it is you want to think about that. I don't think about it like that. I think about it in different ways, and the way that I think about it evolves. And sometimes I used to try and make little processes and ways of thinking about it for the long term. And I realize that doesn't work, because if I'm having to force that, that means that it's not really what I intrinsically want to do. So that's why I do this now, is that if I immediately think a negative word, I try and replace it with positive words, just so that my brain activates more positive energy. And the more positive energy I can activate, I think the nicer a person I am to be around, and the nicer I am like to talk to and that kind of thing. And I think, because, you know, you don't want to be stuck with a Debbie Downer down the pub and they're just talking about miserable shit all day. And it's just like, you know, what good does all doing, you know, engaging with all this negativity do? Because, yeah, the negative stuff is real. The negative things are there, and you should, you know, be conscious of that fact, and you should be open with yourself with the fact that you have this negative thing. But don't, like, dwell in the negativity. Don't sit there and just, like, bathe in this negativity, because it's not necessary. And it's like bathing in fucking mud, you know. Maybe, sure, it feels nice for a little bit if it's warm mud, but, you know, you're going to get out of that mud eventually, and you're going to be all muddy, and you're going to need to have a shower anyway. And the shower in this sense is positivity. So say you're stressed at work. Say you're going to work every day, like 6 days a week, and you're working like 60-hour weeks, and it's like, you know, you're trying to provide for your family, and you know, it's you're behind on your rent and your bills, and everything's sort of getting on top of you, right? It's very easy to kind of like stress and catastrophize about that stuff. And, you know, you should obviously worry about these things, because they are things that need to be worried about, because you don't want your fucking like family to go like without, you know, because you're a good person. So what you kind of do is just try and engage as much of the positivity as you can, because some of the negativity is real and is needs to be considered, but some of it isn't, and some of it is just because you're already in the negative headspace, so you're putting more negativity in there because you're already in this negative headspace, so it's very easy to just allow the negativity to fester and linger when certain things don't need to have that negative response. So that's why people end up taking out their frustrations on their friends and their family, and that's not fair on them. And, you know, you need to have outlets. You need to have ways of getting your anger out and getting your frustrations out in the world. Like, that's why I like going to the gym. I like to run on the treadmill and just like, almost just like, And, you know, when I first started going to the gym, I was very, very kind of down, and I used it as a way of getting my anger out, just like, you know, doing the boxing thing, punching the whatever it is, you know, the bag, boxing bag, right? And, you know, you kind of punch that, and that kind of really helps you to sort of figure out, like, oh, God, yeah. And then you come out of it and you feel so much more relieved and so much happier as a result. And, you know, you ever walk around and you're just like, God, I'm really depressed. Or, you know, maybe the opposite is, God, I feel so good right now, you know? And it's good to, when you hear that little voice or when you feel that emotion, be honest with yourself about why and try and deconstruct what's causing you to feel this way, whether it's positive or negative, because it's important to know why you feel the feelings that you do, because your feelings are always valid no matter what they are. Even if it's like a very negative feeling, it is valid in the sense that you are feeling it, which means you need to do something about it, whether it's positive or negative. If it's positive, it means that you need to like sit inside this positivity and embrace this positivity and live this positivity. And if it's negative stuff, you need to figure out what's causing negativity. Why do I feel like this? Is there some kind of life external circumstance that I could maybe resolve? Or is it an internal depression that I need to wrestle with my brain to sort of figure out? Because your brain isn't always going to be on your side. Sometimes your brain works against you. Sometimes, you know, you ever walk into a room and forget why you're in there, or you know, you're lying in bed and you're like, I don't want to get up, but you know you need to. And all these kind of different things is your brain working against you, and you can't force your brain to work with you. All you can do is encourage it, and all you can do is just try and allow your brain to feel like it's in a safe space within your own mental capacity, where you can feel the feelings that you need and not judge yourself and just go through life trying to be as unjudgmental as possible, because judgment is a negative thing. And it's, again, it's festering in that pit of mud, and you want to avoid that, and you want to try and think happiness and think happy stuff. And if you can do that, then you're doing something right. And if you might not know what you're doing right, but it's up to you to try and figure it out, because it'll be unique to you. And if you're feeling something negative, then you need to figure that out as well, because it'll be unique to you. And no amount of YouTube videos telling you what to do or what routine to take on is going to fix it, because it's up to you and your brain and your heart to all work together like the numbskulls to try and figure themselves out and figure out what to do. So yeah, I think that's going to be the video. Thank you so much for watching this one. Let me know in the comments how you think in your conscious mind. Do you think in abstractions? Do you think in images? Do you think in that kind of thing? Because I don't really think in images. I can't, like, because apparently some people think an image and they can, like, see the image almost, like, in their mind, which I can't relate to that. Like, if I'm going to sit and think about Milan. I can't, like, no pictures are coming to mind. Like, I know what Milan looks like, obviously, because I've been there, and I know what the streets look like, and I know what it all looked like, but I'm trying to think of it, and I can't actually, like, image it, picture it in my mind, right? But I do know what it looked like, and I could recall it, and I could, like, describe it to you. I could describe the tall buildings and, like, the metro thing with the big shiny M, and the way that in the supermarkets they had, like, all sorts of different aisles. Like, they had a lot of fish aisles in their supermarkets, and just, like, dumb little stuff like that, or, like, how the side streets have a lot more, like, tall buildings with, like, these kind of big overhang sort of things. I'm very bad at describing this sort of stuff, but I know what I'm talking about, and I know the image that is coming to mind, right? And it's the same with your brain. It might work in a different way. Your brain might do something totally different from mine, and that's good, because that shows the variety of humanity, that we can all come in so many different shapes and sizes, and we can all think in so many different ways. Because if there's only one way of thinking, then every philosopher would just agree with one another, and if that was the case, the world would be fucking boring, because there's questions to answer, and questions being answered is, you know, a lot of fun. Maybe it's not the point of life, but it's a brilliant little waste of time. So yeah, let me know how you think. What's your conscious thought process? Do you think in sentences? How do you think the sentences? Do you have, like, multiple voices? Do you have one? Do you respond to yourself and have little conversations with yourself? Do you talk out loud, maybe, to help your thoughts actualize a little bit more? All kinds of things like that. There's so many different ways, and I'd love to hear from you about how you think. So thank you so much for watching this video. Hope you have a good rest of the day, and take care, everybody. Bye-bye. Hey up, everybody. My name's Joshua Morrison, Director of Johnny Mozzles, our Lessons in Confidence. Today, I want to talk to you a little bit about blocking. If you're making a film and you've got characters that are doing something, they will inevitably do some blocking, even if it's just a scene with two people sat on a park bench, right? So say you've got two people sat on the park bench and they're kind of like this and the other one is just over here, right? Looking over, that is a very basic example of blocking. The other person might look back. That again, very basic example of blocking, okay? Say if the scene started with one person already sat down and the other one comes and sits next to them, okay? Another example of blocking. That example might make you think of like a spy movie or something, you know, passing information back and forth, you know, that kind of thing. Or if it was two people looking at each other, you might think of some kind of romantic sort of comedy or something like that, where they look at each other and they smile, you know, that kind of thing. But blocking can really involve anything. If you've got two characters that are sat at a dinner table, right, where are they sat? Are they both sat on corners, one here and one here? That is, gives a very different impression to two people that sat on end to end, facing each other. Okay, that gives the impression of distance, whereas if they were sat on the corner, that's two people that are trying to get sort of close to each other, okay? Do you kind of understand? Or if they're sat like this, then you can have the same facing back and forth sort of thing with the over the shoulders, but you don't have that same kind of distance inherent sort of quality to it, okay? So if you're working on something that's scripted, you might want to incorporate blocking, but it's very important to not over do this, because you need to make sure if you're putting some kind of action for the characters to do, that it has some purpose. Because if it doesn't have a purpose, then you're just giving the actors more stuff that they need to remember for no particular reason. What does them sitting down and then getting up and then sitting down again add to the conversation? Are they standing up because they're feeling particularly animated and they have a rant to do? Are they standing up because they're sick of this conversation and they want to leave? Are they standing up because they feel like they need to suddenly put some domination over the other person for the sake of the power struggle in this scene, right, for the conflict? Why are they doing this? If you can't answer that question, then take it out, because it's fine to just have the character sit there. Okay, that's all right, because passiveness is an action in and of itself, okay? So all films that you see throughout all of history, right, you will see scenes, some of which are much more dynamic, where you've got characters that sat down and they get up and then they walk over here, they pour themselves a scotch and then they come back and they drink the scotch and then they like light up a cigarette and they go over to the window and they blow the cigarette out the window and then they come down, they sit down, they take another drink of the scotch and then they say something animated to the person in front of them. And then that person might get up and then go to the toilet, and then that person that's like gone to the toilet, maybe we follow them and then we see them go through the chemist, all their drugs and stuff, the pharmaceutical stuff in their cupboard, right? And they look through and they see, oh God, this person's actually got some kind of mad addiction, right? That's all blocking, right? And without a single word of dialogue being said, right, through the action, you have seen that this person who lives there that's drinking the scotch and going out for the smoke, there's clearly something a little bit like not totally right with them. Not in like the mental, but just in terms of there's something to explore with this character. And the person who has sat down and like going to the bathroom and stuff, they are the one doing the exploring, okay? Just through the blocking, that has been shown. But do you want to maybe simplify this? Does he need to get up and smoke out the window? Does this person need to keep getting up and sitting down and getting up and sitting down? Why do they need to do this? Is it because some kind of innate part of their character, like they're very, quick-witted and quick to prone to movement, and they like to move a lot and they feel like they get fidgety if they stay still? Are they someone that is much more lazy and sort of isolating with regards to themselves? If you have a scene of them just on their own, maybe just seeing them lying in bed is all you need. You don't need them to do a million different things, because we in real life don't do very much at the end of the day, right? We don't sit around like this all the time, okay? Because can you move a million miles an hour your entire life? No, and neither can your characters, okay? Your characters can't be doing this all the time because they will get fucking sick of it, okay? If your characters are just never ending, never stopping, right? Unless you're writing, like, I don't know, The Bourne Identity or something, they're gonna get fucking irritated. And I'm not saying that, like, they've got some kind of conscience that you need to, like, draw, and that's actually a subject for another video. But I'm saying they won't be believable as people, okay? You don't need to include all this blocking that you're including. Okay, it really is not necessary. You're putting it in because you've been told that you need to put blocking in. And you do, okay? But your blocking needs to serve a purpose, okay? If your blocking doesn't serve a purpose, then take it out, because it's just overcomplicating the scene. I used to do all sorts of stuff like this. If a character was smoking, I would like, right, he takes a drag. He takes a drag. No, if the actor is smoking in the scene, they'll take a drag when they want to take a fucking drag, when feels right for them, okay? So, if you're writing something at the moment, okay, something scripted, remember that your actor needs to do all the things that you're saying, okay? And if they can't see a reason why it should be done, all that's going to end up happening is you'll end up directing them and you'll have a little conversation when they go, does he need to do this, does he need to do that? And you won't be able to justify your actions. You won't be able to justify why this character is doing that sort of thing. And if you can't justify it, how can the actor act it? Because the actor can't get behind the action, because the actor doesn't know why they are doing this thing, okay? So, yeah, that's basically the video. Thank you very much for watching this one. I hope you have a good rest of the day. Hope everything works out for you. And if you're writing a script at the moment, please, please take some of that goddamn blocking out and let your actor come up with it themselves, because actors aren't stupid, okay? They know what they're doing. They're professionals. And even if they're not, like, you must have acted in something, right? You know what it's like. Empathize. Figure out. Because do you want to sit there and be told when you can have a drag of your cigarette? Absolutely not. You don't want that at all. You want to be told something important, like when to fall down. Thank you very much for watching, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye. Hey up, everybody. My name's Joshua Morrison, director of Johnny Mozzles, or Lessons in Confidence. Today, I want to talk to you a little bit about you and how you are much more interesting than you might think you are. Now, we all kind of get ourselves down a little bit. You know, you might have an awkward conversation. Let's say you go down to the pub, right? And you're talking to some like old guy, and he's like talking to you about like the business that you had when he was younger, and maybe he's going on about the holidays that you went on, these crazy escapades and all this sort of stuff. And you're maybe in your like early to mid 20s, and you feel like, fuck, he's done so much and I've done so little. What have I done? I've maybe like gone up and downtown a little bit. I've got a couple fun drunk stories, but I haven't really got much. I'm not that interesting. What have I got to talk about? I could talk to him about like all the sort of stuff that I'm interested in, but he doesn't give a crap. So what do I have? And it might be easy to make yourself feel like you're not interesting, right? And I just want to reaffirm to you that you are a much more interesting person than you might think you are. And it's very easy to get yourself down about it, and it's very easy to make yourself sort of feel like you're less valuable than you actually are. And that's just the whole brain working against you sort of thing. And the way that I would sort of say to you to make things work a bit better for yourself is become a more active listener. So say that guy that's talking about his business and talking about the crazy escapades he was having like abroad and all that stuff when he was younger. Pick up on like little details, right, that he might not even think are that interesting, that maybe not aren't the point of the story, right? And pick up on those little bits and get him to verify this bit or like expand on this, right? Let him tell bits of the story, right? And now you become someone who he trusts, not necessarily trusts instinctively, but like he sees that you're an interesting person because you're listening, you're an active listener, you're a kind-hearted sort of individual who cares about others, right, for a start. And then because now you have a little bit of rapport with that person, obviously, you might feel a little bit uncomfortable talking about the things that you know, care about and that kind of thing. But once you start, right, you might get that little reaction of like, yeah. And, you know, once you get one of those, you kind of feel like maybe that's the sort of thing that keeps you up late at night. You know, you're lying in bed, like, recollecting with that awkward experience. We all have that. We've all had that awkward experience, right? Really awkward stuff. I mean, I've had so many awkward experiences in my life where I've alienated people around me, not from anything bad, but just from like almost being like a real life David Brent, you know, and just like being awkward about stuff. And, you know, I think that what's key to remember is that you're not alone with that. Everyone has caused an awkward silence or caused one of those, sort of situations. We've all done it, okay? And it's natural. He's done it, I bet, you know? Right before he left, he might have accidentally said something that he shouldn't have said. And it's like, oh, shit. And maybe now he's cycling. I don't mean to use him in particular as an example, but just an example of another person who has accidentally caused some kind, not harm, but just some sort of, like, awkward situation. And they're part of the human experience. Awkwardness is bound to happen to your life. You can't avoid it. So I think just allow it to be a part of you and allow yourself to just go through life not worrying what other people think about you, because no one gives a shit about you. And that's like not a negative thing. I'm not saying like no one cares about you. Obviously like your family care about you and all that sort of stuff, but they're not sitting there going, he said this, and I think he's doing this, and he's this, 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 and this. All the stuff that you're like catastrophizing about in your head, you know? You might be sitting there going, oh, I can't believe that I just said that. They've forgotten about it. Maybe at most, they might talk to someone else and go, oh, he said this thing to me and it was a bit odd. And that's it, right? And you know, that's part and parcel of life. And if you can own that fact, you can become more confident. And the more confident you get, confidence is attracted to confidence, right? And because you're surrounding yourself with more confident people, that will allow you to become more confident. And that kind of feeds into itself, if that makes sense. And what you kind of want to do is just allow yourself to be yourself. And that's just it. Just allow yourself to be yourself, right? Because if you shut out the little parts of your personality that people think are boring, like say, I don't know, say you like Warhammer 40K. I don't, but like, let's use it as an example, right? So you talk to someone at the pub, right? And they're telling you about the little escapades that they had abroad. And then you start talking about Warhammer 40K, right? And you're really into it. You know, you're talking about all the little like marine fucking guys and all the stuff. I don't know anything about it, but I'm just using it as an example. So people will listen to you and they'll be interested and they'll know that you're the Warhammer 40K guy, right? And that'll be the first little impression. Then the next time you meet them, you might talk to them about something else. You might bring up Warhammer 40K a little bit, but you know, you'll also talk about other stuff. Maybe you're into, I don't know, other video games, or you're into other stuff, right? And you'll talk about that as well. And then they might, you know, and it's all, this is all a bit nerdy sort of stuff that we're in here. We're in the nerdy sphere. So you'll be known as a little bit of a nerd. And like, I like nerds. Nerds are cool, right? That's a bit of an oxymoron, but they are cool, right? I love having little conversations about stuff that they're really interested in. I sort of sit there and I listen in on it. And like, I don't really know what the fuck they're talking about, but like, I try and take it in and I ask some little questions. And that's the active listening thing again. Because like, and you can use that little bit of knowledge if it comes up. Like, there's been times when someone has brought that same Warhammer 40K, to use it as an example again, say it comes up in another conversation, I can use the fact that someone was just talking to me about Warhammer 40K. I'll pick up a little thing he said. Oh yeah, the Space Marines were all based on this particular thing from the 1950s or whatever, I don't know. And I'll bring it up to these guys and they'll go, oh, interesting. Do you like Warhammer 40K? It's like, I've never played it, mate. But it's like, it doesn't matter because you're an active listener. You're taking in information from other people and applying it onto another conversation. And that is part of who we are. And when I say that you're more interesting than you think you are, I think you're not a singular entity amongst like a sea of robots. You know, every other person here, taxi driver, that he's going to go home and he might be really into rugby or something like that, and he could talk your ear off about rugby. And it's really interesting, you know what I mean? And so no man is an island. We all form our life and our opinions and our worldview around the people that we are surrounded by, and then we take what we have injected into ourselves from those people and apply it to other people. And the more that you can do that, and the more efficiently you can do that, the more interesting that you become. And you're already interesting enough as is. You might just be conscious, like self-conscious about yourself and not want to expose, let's call it the vulnerable parts of you to other people because you're worried that they'll judge you. But they don't really give a shit. You know, that's just it. That's the basic message of the video, is that people don't give a shit about the sort of little awkward experiences. What they remember is the things that you're interested in, the things that you talk about. Even if they forget the specifics, they know a general vibe of who you are. And that's what you already have. You have that. You have that personality deep within you. And you might not understand it. And it's about translating it from mental state, subconscious sort of stuff, to a conscious, I am this, I do this, this is my sort of personality, this is my life, this is who I am. And once you can own that fact and figure out who you are, then you can apply the knowledge that is deep within you, because you're a very intelligent person. Like, I don't know you in particular, right? But even if you're, say, you've got subpar IQ, you're still intelligent in various forms, whether it's logistical intelligence, emotional intelligence, or statistical, like you can read off loads of stats, that kind of thing. And they all have their purposes and their functions and their uses in various social situations. And We all have our place in the world, and it's a much more interesting place than we think it might be if you get yourself down about it. Because if you can get yourself down about it, then you kind of sit there and go, oh, maybe I should just like isolate myself from everyone else. And if you do that and you're just like, you don't talk to anyone ever and you never do anything, it's not that you're not an interesting person, but you're locking your personality away, and you just need to put the key in the box and just open the box of your own personality and your own sense of self and allow others in. And once you sort of do that, you'll realize that you are more interesting than you might have ever possibly imagined. And that's basically the core of the message here, is that just be yourself. Just be yourself and people will come along for the ride. That's how I found this YouTube channel. I've done so many YouTube channels where I've tried to be like this, what I thought people wanted, and no one attached themselves to it. I start not giving a shit and just being who I actually am, right? I'm basically the same off camera as I am on camera. I mean, I'm a bit more like, you know, it's a stream of consciousness. I don't literally talk to myself like this all the time, but this is basically who I am. And because I've shown who I actually am, I think people like that and they've come on board, and you can do the same thing. Maybe not with videos, maybe with something else, whatever your hobby is. Just expose to the world who you are and the world will accept you. So that's it from me. Please leave your comments in the thing below. If maybe you disagree with the points I'm making, maybe you've tried to expose your sense of self to others and you've been judged for it, and so it's kind of put you back in the little box. And it's about, like, I understand why you might be in the little box, right? But try and get out of it again. Try and put yourself through that again and see if it'll be successful the next time. And if it isn't, don't let that discourage you. Obviously, it will discourage you, but don't, like, dwell in the discouragement. Just try again and keep trying, because eventually you will succeed. So that's it from me. Thank you very much for watching. Yeah, love you all. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye. Hey up, everybody. My name's Joshua Morrison, director of Johnny Mozzles Lessons in Confidence. Today, I want to talk to you a little bit about coming up with ideas. How do I come up with ideas for these videos? How do you come up with ideas in general for things? And, you know, there's those times where you don't really have much of a clue what you want to make, but you know you want to make something. And it's about getting from that point where you haven't made something and you don't know what it is you want to make to you have made something and here it is, right? So that's the thing I like about doing these videos, is that they're very quick. They're very sort of stream of conscious. They're very, whatever I'm thinking on the day is kind of what the video will be. So if I'm in a good mood, then that will be what the video is. If I'm in a bad mood, then that will kind of be what the video is. And now there's like 200 plus videos just like this, where I've go to various little places and I talk about, you know, various things. Sometimes I'm in more of a motivational mood. Sometimes I'm in a mood where I just want to have a bit of a moan. Sometimes I want to get into some nitty gritty or some issue, you know? And, sometimes I don't have any ideas. Sometimes, and there's been a couple times, not really anymore, but towards the start of this channel, where I would say that little, hey up everybody, my name's Joshua Morrison, director of Johnny Mozzles Lessons in Confidence, and today, and I wouldn't even know what I'm going to say next, and I would just make it up on the spot, and I would figure out what my point is as I'm doing the video. And as I start talking, I realise it's kind of going to lead into this kind of topic or this kind of topic. And I think by doing stuff, you will get your ideas more figured out than if you just sit and try and figure out your ideas. If you go out and just execute an idea, you'll realize what that idea is through the process of doing it. And then once you have done it, you'll be able to look back and go, I did this right, but I did that wrong. And there's a lot of stuff that's quite good in here, but there's this little issue that's just kind of here. And there's a lot of good things that can come out of the spur of the moment, as it were. There's a lot of good things that can just come out of just beginning without an idea and then just seeing what comes of it, and then taking a look at the finished product and going, ah, oh, that's what I was going for. And it turns out to be a lot more cohesive than you might think going into it, especially as you do more and more of them. Like, you know, I think once you do your first few, you figure out the good things and the bad things about your style and about who you are in general, and what it is you have to offer in terms of an outlook or a creative you know, vision, and you take the lessons that you learned from doing and apply them to the next thing that you do. And hopefully the next time you won't make the same mistakes that you made the first time, but you will retain the things that were good about the first time. And then now that you've done the second time, you'll see what was kind of, that thing there is still a little bit wrong, but it's not as bad. And now you do the third thing and you've you're just honing in on what's good and taking out what's bad. And the more that you do, the more you're able to do good things, and the more you're able to filter out the bad. Compared to if you just try and make the perfect thing straight away, you won't get anything done. I've got so many notes in my Google Drive, in my notes, in my computer, and just written down on paper, I've got huge wafts of fucking text all over the place that are all half-baked ideas, trying to figure out what to do. And the more that I sit and plan something, the less I actually do something. And I feel like when I come and do these sort of videos, I don't have much of an idea. I don't sit and take loads and loads and loads of notes. I don't have, an exact structure in mind. I know kind of how these videos function in the sense that I'm trying to solve a little issue, or I'll answer a question, and I go about it by asking a few questions, raising some concerns, and then trying to address them. And once you figure out a little formula for yourself that you can kind of just do off the cusp, then you're going to be in a much better position to be able to create things that take some kind of more preordained planning. I'm not against planning. I'm not against, figuring out what you want to do beforehand. But I think it shouldn't be the only way that you do stuff. I think it's nice to go into something without much of an idea, just a basic little concept, and then seeing what can come from it. Right? A film that I watched recently, it's called Love Celeste, right? It's part of Joel Haver's 12 Features project. I think it's the 7th or the 8th one, right? If you type it into Google, there's this one Reddit thread that's posted by one of the guys that's in it. I think it's Dan. And he basically just screen capped the original draft concept. And the original draft concept on his phone is a 4-line long note on his phone. It's literally, you can read it in about 30 seconds, right? And the idea is so simple, and they extrapolated that simple idea into this hour and a half long feature film project. And look, I'm not going to act like it's the best film ever. I'm not going to say that it's perfect. But I do think that they made a really good film without much in the way of, organizing or planning or anything like that. And they came out with a decent project, right? And the more that you do that, he did it 12 times, and he came out with, I wouldn't say they're all great. I've seen 4. And I liked 3 of them, and I loved one of them, right? So say that's a quarter success rate. That's still pretty fucking decent, And at the end of the day, the more that you do something, the better you will get at it. Compared to the more that you plan something, you're only going to get better at planning. You're not going to get better at doing. You can plan all you want, but that doesn't necessarily translate to any kind of actual project or product or final result, right? Unless you just set out to make a plan without actually actioning it, right? That's why I'd go into these videos without much of an idea. For instance, this video, the only note that I've got on my phone is just, how do I come up with ideas for videos, right? And the way that I would answer that question is, I kind of think about stuff that I've done before. I look at various topics. I've done stuff on music motivation, film sort of centric motivation. I've done stuff about philosophy. And I think about what aspects of philosophy I might have been going for. I did one a while ago about trying to shut out politics for the sake of your own mental health, right? And I think, okay, what kind of points was I making in that? And then I think, how can I extrapolate a couple of those points where I didn't really go super in depth to it? And then maybe there's another video in that idea. So I went and actually did a semi-sequel video to that video just the other day. And that tackles an entirely different sort of realm within this overall idea of shutting out politics, or just trying to, be more conscious of the world that you live in, right? And so that's one sort of avenue of film of video that I can go down. Or I can go down a totally separate one. I can go down the music motivation one. I can think, okay, I've done ones on singing, I've done ones on playing the instrument, I've done ones on mixing, I've done ones on blah, 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 right? And I can think, okay, what haven't I done? Well, I've done singing, but maybe I haven't done, various types of singing, finding the right type of singing for you. I only talked about the general concept of singing. I could hone in on a specific idea within that. I could, go more technical with it, or I could go a bit more abstract with it and a bit more philosophical with it. And so each idea that for a video that you kind of do that springs out so many more ideas. Because if you look at, say, an old project that you worked on, right, and you watch it back or you listen to it back or read it back or whatever, you'll see that there's so many little things in there that you kind of think, oh, I wish I'd done that as well. I wish I'd put that in. Oh, I wish I'd tried that, you know. And doing these videos, it allows me to do all of those little things, but just in piecemeal form, rather than trying to do one giant project where I say everything that there is to say. I can just say little bits here and there and build up things over time, over the course of hundreds, possibly thousands of videos going into the future. I don't know how many of these I'm going to make, right? So I think it's important to figure out who you are, what you're making, and why you're making it, rather than just honing in on the how you're going to make it, the planning, the figuring it out, right? I could get really, mega into the specific locations and specific angles and stuff, and making sure each video is the best thing that I've ever done. But I don't want to do things like that. Sometimes I go into a video and I know it's not going to be the best one. I know it's maybe going to be even quote filler content, right? There's some videos that I think are filler stuff at the time of making it, and then I go back and look at it and I feel like it's one of my better ones. So you kind of get that with all forms of creativity. And that's why I'm so big into the idea of quantity over quality, doing more things rather than trying to do the best thing, because you'll end up doing better things just by making more stuff. The more that you make, the better you'll get at making things. And it's just really as simple as that. And so with coming up for some of the ideas for these videos, I kind of take what I've done before and try and extrapolate on various ideas and bits that I haven't touched on yet, and try and expand my own little worldview and my own ideology and figure myself out in amongst all of this stuff. Recently, I went to see a few mates, right? And towards the end of the night, this mate gave me this book. It's Jack Kerouac, On the Road. And he said, Josh, you'll really like this book. You're really going to enjoy this. Right. So, and he was sort of talking about the benefits of reading and how reading philosophy can really help you out and stuff like that. And I'm going to be honest, I don't read a particularly massive amount of philosophy. I don't read particularly much at all, to be honest. I used to read a lot on the bus. I used to read constantly. And then, I don't know, when the pandemic happened, I kind of stopped for some reason. And I just never picked it up again. Now when I go on the bus, I listen to an album or listen to a podcast or something. And it's just not quite as intellectually stimulating. Compared to doing the reading and stuff. Apparently some people find it hard to read on a bus because they get a bit motion sick. I can totally understand that, but that was never an issue with me, so I don't know why I don't read more on the bus. I haven't even started reading this Jack Kerouac book. I've had it for 2 days now, and I need to actually start reading it. It's not even that long. It's only 300 pages, and it's similar in vein to the Charles Bukowski and Hunter S. Thompson. That's kind of the realm of literature that I really enjoy. Semi-realist, quite cynical, quite down-to-earth, naturalistic kind of stories about just people doing the things that they do and the travels that they undertake and all that kind of stuff. And that's just my little world of book. I like that little area of literature. But other people like other areas of literature. So I want to start reading more in that vein, and then seeing there's this book that goes into this idea but on a bit of a different level, and there's it's the same kind of traveling thing, but now we're doing it in Eastern Europe rather than America, whatever, that kind of thing. And I like that kind of semi-real, semi-fiction, but it's all about getting a point across and about expressing a worldview. And when I read Charles Bukowski or whoever did Stupid Dog, I kind of think, wow, I can understand who these characters are. And I think that's something that is really good to do, just to start reading. And I'm going to get back into reading, and I think that'll probably benefit these videos as well, because I'll be able to be more informed about my philosophical outlook, right? Because I don't know, I have been running a little low on ideas, but that's only because I've done so many of these videos in such a short span of time. If I give it a couple weeks or something like that, where I don't make any and I've had it all backlogged and I haven't made any videos for a couple weeks, I kind of come back and I find that I have a lot to say, because I've taken some time to recharge the old thinking batteries. I don't know, and it kind of just works out that the more that you say, the more that you figure out yourself, and the more that you figure out yourself, the more that you have to say, and that kind of what's the word? When you do paradox, that's it. When you go time traveling and there's a bit of a paradox, it's kind of like that, but without the time traveling. So yeah, in terms of, I come up with ideas pretty much on the spot, and sometimes like the night before I go on my phone and I type some video title ideas. Sometimes I do the little thumbnail text and I think like, right, here's how it can kind of work. Mr. Beast does this. He figures out the video, the title first, and then works the video around it. I kind of do the same thing. As much as I hate to admit that, I do that exact thing. I figure out the title and then figure out what I can say in regards to that title. And there's been so many titles that I've discarded because I've tried to make the video, and a few minutes in, I know that it's not going to work. I know that this idea is bollocks, and I know that I have nothing to really say on the matter. And when that happens, that's just fine. It's just an idea that didn't work. But it's worth trying. It's always worth trying an idea that doesn't work, even if you don't succeed. At least you have done something. What's the whole thing? Like, it's better to try and not succeed than it is to not succeed and fail, or something like that. Not try and to fail. I don't know how the quote works, but it's something like that. And it's all about just, you know, it's good to try hard at things. And I think we can all agree with that. It's good to try hard at stuff. I don't think that's an uncontroversial, I don't think that's a controversial thing to say. Yeah, that's basically it. That's how I come up with the ideas for these videos. It's kind of a spur of the moment, and I consciously don't put too much in the way of preordained, pre-planned sort of stuff in there, because if I do that, then I'm kind of imprisoned by the plan, and that means that I have a harder time actually coming up with things to say, because at the end of the day, this is still unscripted, and if I was to script this out, I don't think it would be anywhere near as good. I wouldn't be able to come up with nearly the same level of conclusions that I would come to if I was just sat at a computer, you know, just trying to type it all out beforehand. And it's not that I'm against the idea of scripting stuff out and trying things that way. I just haven't at the moment. I'd like to do that at some point in a different format, maybe like with voiceover and stock footage and stuff. That'd probably be for a separate, I might do a separate channel for that one day. Not anytime soon. That's just an idea that I've just spitballed. But it's an idea that just came out. It might work, it might not, right? I might go for it, I might not, right? The more ideas that you have and the more ideas that you action on, the better you will be at coming up with ideas, is essentially the point of this video. So yeah, if you have any thoughts on just coming up with your ideas in general, how do you come up with ideas for the things that you do? Do you ever feel like you've run out of ideas? Do you ever feel like, you know, you're creatively spent and there's nothing left in your little creative well? You're wrong, but do you ever feel like that? Because I know I sure do. And yeah, that's basically the video. I hope you have a good rest of the day. Hope you're staying comfortable in this cold winter. And yeah, hope you have a good rest of the day. And take care, everybody. Bye bye. I'm gonna close it out by just doing some swinging. Oh, my hips. Ah, fuck. They're squeezing. I don't like this. I'm too fat and old to be swinging on this fucking thing. Fucking hell. Jesus. Stop that.